Welcome to the Eclipse Wealth Podcast. This is your guide to making sense of financial planning and wealth management. It's brought to you by Eclipse Private Office and is here to inform, inspire confidence, and spark ideas that help you take control of your financial future. In each episode, we'll explore the key concepts that drive long-term success. Everything from building a strong foundation to making those all-important decisions as your wealth grows. You'll hear from experienced professionals who live and breathe this work every day, and from private investors who'll share what they've learned on a path to financial freedom. Our first series is called The Client Journey. Each episode takes you through a different stage of the financial planning process, helping you see what's ahead and, more importantly, what's possible. So whether you're just getting started or well on your way, there's something here for you. Let's begin the journey.
So Max, very warm welcome to your podcast today.
Thank you.
Perhaps we could start here today, Max, and perhaps you could give us a clear picture of what the Eclipse Private Office does and who it is that you serve and what kind of wealth management services you provide.
Yeah, we provide wealth management services and consulting solutions for a select group of high net worth individuals and their families. In terms of wealth management, we're really looking at investments. So we're looking at stocks and shares and equities, but also extending into any other assets and things that they may hold. Primarily, we are focusing on those securities and listed assets. And I guess our primary aim is to increase the value of our clients' real worth by the effective oversight of their capital. And, really, hopefully, all delivered with a high level of personal service. I guess one of the areas we specialize in is helping business owners. They've often acquired wealth through their own efforts over many years. Perhaps a business that started on their kitchen table over 25 years has grown to the point where they have multiple locations, employ lots of staff, and they finally come to a point when they wish to sell or they've got succession plans. And these people often have complex taxation or legal requirements. So, our sort of joined-up approach can really make a world of difference and provide peace of mind. These sorts of people require multiple portfolio mandates to manage their risk and growth objectives. And by and large, they've been through the financial planning tools early on in their investing lives. But in terms of us as part of the Peregrine and Black Group, we've got all the resources of a large firm with offices in central London and Bermuda, as it happens. But as a boutique here at Eclipse, we have an independent investment process and our interests are wholly aligned with our clients. And I'm sure you'll ask me more about that later.
That's fascinating, Max. So what is it that you believe that sets Eclipse apart in an increasingly crowded world of private wealth management?
Yeah, it is crowded, isn't it? Well, the wealth management sector is dominated by ever larger firms out there, largely focused on asset gathering. And there's a lot of mergers and acquisition activity going on there. In contrast, we're just a small boutique offering a highly bespoke service. We've got no ties, no restrictions. We're completely independent of thought and practice. So we're free to work with the best managers out there, the best managers that we can find. So our clients are not shoehorned into an in-house service, as I'm afraid is often the case. Mm. We're also investing in the same way for our families and ourselves. So we're effectively eating the same cooking as our clients. And that, I think, counts for a lot. Certainly, the existing clients, they're always interested in what we're doing and everything else. And it gives them some reassurance that we're sitting in at the same table as them, so to speak. Each of us has worked for bigger national firms at sort of director and what they call sort of C-suite level. So we bring a lot of experience to the role and a fair amount of grey hair, and in my case, no hair, to the job. And I think for our clients, it's reputation and trust that's far more important than brand.
So that's really insightful, Max. So how would you describe the investment philosophy that underpins your work at Eclipse?
As a former portfolio manager myself, I've always looked for a margin of safety when I'm investing, whether it's myself or indeed my clients. And in part, it's because I know that the price you pay is a determinant of your future gain. If I've overpaid for something, I've got to find someone dumber than myself to sell it to. That's my view of things. Hmm. But it's also because I knew that we would periodically get things wrong. And there is a saying that the market can stay irrational longer than you or I can stay solvent. So a level of self-awareness and conviction is also important. And today we pick this up in our due diligence meetings with the underlying portfolio managers that we select. So we look for those sorts of qualities in them as well. Here at Eclipse, we wish to manage both the systemic and the non-systemic risk. Apologies for the jargon there. But what I mean by that is the risk of being in the market itself. Investments can go down as well as up. And also the non-systemic risk, and by that, the manager's risk that they will get it wrong, which they will at times. And so we believe that asset allocation is really a major contribution to investors' returns. So we use ETF market trackers because we think they're a more cost-effective way to get the performance of the market. But there are opportunities and themes out there, and anomalies too, you know, that only an active manager can exploit. And the sort of things I'm thinking of are, you know, smaller companies, indeed some of the micro companies and things, or even an unquoted company shares, or investment trusts. The closed-ended market provides all sorts of opportunities where mispricing exists. So we like our managers to look in those areas too. So in short, you know, we utilize both active and passive portfolios across a number of different managers. And I think we believe this approach delivers much better outcomes than entrusting the portfolio to one active manager.
So what are your views on longer-term planning?
In terms of longer-term planning, I think we tend to look at things in buckets, you know, short-term, medium-term, longer-term. And we all need to keep some money short-term for life's little emergencies and pleasures. But in terms of the longer-term, we're always looking for those assets that are going to deliver. And that invariably is equities, company shares traded on UK and international markets. So some of our managers are using direct equities. That's what we like them to do. Some of our managers are using collective unit trusts and investment trusts within their portfolios, particularly to get exposure to particular themes or indeed Far East, European, or indeed US companies. So that's what we're looking for in the longer term bucket.
That's great. And do you have any views on active versus passive investments?
I think I've never liked to get into the sort of active best, passive worse, or vice versa. And that's a common topic in the financial press on a slow news day. I think actually both have their place. And I think sometimes you are looking just for the market returns. And in that sense, you know, why pay extra fees when you can get access to a tracker or an ETF or something? But I think only investing in a tracker, you're going to miss out on some of the other opportunities that are there. So that's why we think a blend is best. But I think it's using that blend sensibly and identifying where active is really delivering, because that is worth paying for. It's not worth paying active fees for beta.
With that in mind, could you briefly walk us through the investment process that you follow with your clients from the first conversation to an ongoing portfolio management scenario?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that I spend much of my time reading and listening. Not only is this intellectually stimulating, and that goes to my colleagues too, but it fits in with our process. And we focus on three areas crucially, or you could call it four. And that is asset allocation, risk, and performance. It might be helpful if I just explain that a bit more.
Yes, please.
Asset allocation, really, we're looking at the risk-based division between asset classes, and that is equities, fixed income securities, which might be corporate bonds or gilts, property even, alternative assets such as gold or these days crypto, and indeed cash. So that's really what we're focusing there. What we're looking for is to see how managers are using that properly in a sort of tactical way. And from that point of view, it's managers making changes to their asset allocation over time. And so we do monitor that, and we can see where they're applying more risk and where also they're taking risk off the table. So we do keep track of that on a quarterly basis. And over time, a picture emerges because we want our managers to be adding value through their asset allocation choices as much through their stock selection choices. So asset allocation is important. I mentioned risk, and of course, you know, we are in the risk management business. But we've got to make sure the risk is suitable. It's the whole Goldilocks thing. It's not too hot and not too cold. If it's too hot and we're taking too much risk, that's fine when things are going swimmingly. But when everything heads south, you know, that's not good for the poor old client. Similarly, for a client who have some risk appetite, then we expect our underlying managers to be making good use of that. And if they're not taking enough risk, then the reality is that the returns expectations are not going to be met. So we put great store by that, and we talk to our managers about how they're using their risk budget. And of course, the final area we're looking at is performance. We're managing outcomes, and we're looking for consistent returns in excess of inflation, taxes, and costs. So we monitor that, and where we're seeing the outcomes are not in line with our expectations, then clearly something's gone wrong. You know, if we're tracking the asset allocation, we can see, well, was it in the asset allocation? We know what the risk budget is. You know, so is it that? And to be honest, if it's none of those things, then it's probably in the stock and the fund selection for which the underlying managers have full discretion. And then we'll start interrogating them about that. I mean, the good news is we've done their job before. So we're unlikely to have the wool pulled over our eyes. And so we can see where mistakes might have been made. We undertake due diligence on about a dozen portfolio managers. We're not using a dozen at the moment. We're using about seven. But we speak to them, we listen to them, and we track their numbers every quarter. I think the important thing is to remember is that our clients have made their wealth, and they probably started out and ultimately sold the business, as I said. So, you know, we do have an eye to their financial planning needs, but by and large, we're mainly working with our other professional advisors, their lawyers and accountants. And sometimes we need to introduce other specialists, whether it's for estate planning or tax advice in an overseas jurisdiction, for example. I mean, lately I've had a number of people asking about golden visas. You know, so that's something we can help them with. And we can also help with their liquidity and their cash management as well in that shorter-term bucket. Invariably, clients want to talk about succession planning for their children. Philanthropy turns up in conversations too. Again, it's not our expertise, but we know plenty of people who can help them in that area, and also in the sort of charitable side of things. These are all part of the private office service, if you like, around the periphery of what effectively is our core, and that is looking after the medium and long-term investments.
So it sounds to me like it's somewhat of a one-stop shop for your clients. They can come to you, and where you haven't got the expertise, you perhaps know people that can support in the more detailed aspects of what it is that you do.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, we certainly see ourselves as the primary relationship. I think clients will have relationships with their accountants and solicitors and everything else. It does help if we can liaise with them, because like most people, they want to get on with their lives. They don't want to spend their whole time managing as the interface between the accountant and the solicitor. So that sort of joined up thinking approach goes down extremely well with clients, and they're reassured when their advisors will just get on with it. And certainly if we can facilitate things and direct traffic, then they will thank us for that.
Fantastic. I'd love to ask some questions about you as the co-founder of Eclipse Wealth. But before I do, perhaps as a bit of a transition from what we've just been talking about to that, I'd love to ask you this question, which is, if you could sit down with your younger self, perhaps 20, 30 years ago, what advice would you give either about investing or business and life in general?
Yeah, what a great question. I think there are a few advantages in getting old, and one of those is experience and wisdom. So two things come to mind on that way. The first thing I think I'd tell myself is to, you know, follow your dreams and don't be afraid of failure. And I think the second thing I'd say is advice that I've given to my kids, and they're all young adults now, and hopefully they've taken it on board, and that is to spend less than you earn and invest the rest, saving at compound interest. So I think those are two solid pieces of advice that I give my younger self.
How insightful. You're the co-founder of Eclipse Wealth, and you and your co-founder, David, have both had long careers in finance. So could you share with us a little bit of the story about how Eclipse came to be, and what was the gap that you saw in the market that you wanted to address?
Well, quite simply, I was approached by a number of people who wanted me to manage their portfolios soon after I left Hawksmoor in early 2023. By sheer coincidence, a few weeks later, David took me out to lunch. I think perhaps he was feeling sorry for me or something. And in the course of our starter, he said he had an idea to start a private office. Was I interested? And to be perfectly honest, the answer was no. At that stage, I was exhausted and really needed a break. But the idea sort of stuck there in my own mind. And a few weeks later, we got back together to talk about it. You know, we were both experienced portfolio managers and we left our respective firms. He's much longer than I, but he also knew that I had business experience, sufficient experience to launch a new venture. And over those summer months, I researched the marketplace, saw what else was there, and thought there was a gap, and put a business plan together with no great expectations other than to, let's see where we go with this. So we spoke to a lot of people, and actually we were pleasantly surprised to find a healthy interest in our proposition. And so that really helped us to sort of hone it. And the project picked up momentum when we met the directors at Peregrine & Black, and they could see a great fit within their business. Peregrine & Black offer financial planning. They also have an investment management division. But they could see a gap in the ultra-high net worth space. They liked our distinct proposition. They had thought about doing something themselves, but here was a vision that they could buy into with what we called Eclipse Private Office. We launched in April 2024, and so we've been going about 15 months. So that's the backstory to Eclipse, effectively.
That's a fascinating backstory there, Max. So perhaps you could tell me more about your own journey and what have been some of the more defining moments in your career that's led to what it is that you do today.
My first experience in handling other people's money was at school, betting on racehorses. I would take the stake from my chums and hop across the fields to a bookmaker who happened to live in a nearby village. Fortunately, I was never caught because I would have been severely punished if I was. But I also learned some salutary lessons in fiduciary duty at a very early age. And I think the details of that will have to remain till another podcast. But it also led to a lifelong interest in horse racing, which is in my family anyway. But I think work proper started when I decided to become a surveyor. My father had some friends who were surveyors. They all seemed to drive nice cars. They were never stuck behind the desk. They had a lot of variety in their life. And I thought, that sounds good. So I went to college and did my estate management exams, admittedly in London, in the East End of London, just as Canary Wharf was going up. But I never really got my hands dirty as a surveyor, to be honest. My first job was at a merchant bank in the city, Morgan Grenfell. There's a name for anyone over the age of 40. And I joined them at the height of the property boom. And it was a great training ground. And I learned an awful lot. Just to put some historical perspective on it, we were still using faxes and a new tool called Lotus 123 spreadsheets, which I quickly found that I had an aptitude for and also found myself in strong demand because none of the senior partners had any idea how to use it. So that was a great opportunity that put me into the key meetings that as a 21-year-old, I never would have seen. Later on, I inherited some money and I met an IFA and quickly saw that sort of knowledge evaluation and that sort of time value of money had a wider application. So I joined that firm. And so my career over the next 30 years must take me across both the sell side and the buy side of the investment management world. I've worked with some exceptional fund managers, economists, and investment analysts. I'm still investing on my own account today, but not on a discretionary basis any longer for clients. We outsource that to other people who work a full working week.
Very insightful to hear some of those early stories there, Max. So thanks for sharing those with us. Have there been any particular experiences or people, perhaps mentors, that have shaped your outlook and your philosophy and your perhaps approach to the work that it is that you do today, personally and professionally?
Yeah, good question. I suppose the markets provided the soundtrack to my career. Yeah, I've worked through boom times and bust. I started at Morgan Grenfell a couple of months before the 1987 crash. All the way through the TMT tech boom, through the 2000s, the roaring 2000s, and the great financial crash of 2008, and more recently through the COVID crisis. So in that respect, I think that the market has been the great experience for me. I'm minded to think of a quote that I like from a famous investor, Jeremy Grantham, And he was once asked, do you think we shall learn anything in this turmoil? I forget which particular crash it was at the time. He replied, we shall learn an enormous amount in the very short term, quite a lot in the medium term, and absolutely nothing in the long term. That would be the historical precedent, and how right he was. I find economic and financial history fascinating. I've got a library of books here that I can dip into, and I guess that's why we write about it so much in our Eclipse First newsletters. I think the rise of technology has been the most formative experience of my working life, certainly, and it's been the second industrial revolution, if you think about it. It's also provided some of the best investment opportunities. It's been described as the largest legal creation of wealth in the history of mankind. So yeah, it's provided some great investment opportunities, and some of those quite recently. But paradoxically, it's also provided some of the worst. Yeah, in terms of, sort of mentors, I guess, to sort of name check a couple of people I've had the pleasure to work with. I guess the person who had a real impact on me as a young man was Benedict Thompson McCausland. He was the chief executive of a life company. He was also a lecturer at Oxford in business school. He was a wonderful mentor to me in my early career. You know, I still keep up with him, of course. And more recently, I guess, I would say Richard Scott, a colleague from the early days at Hawksmoor. We were both directors in the early days. And Richard remains a good friend, and he had a real impact on my, or say, an influence on my investment philosophy. I had dinner with him a few months ago, and I give him some credit there.
So, Max, I'd like to talk to you about the future now. And looking ahead, where do you see the Eclipse private office going in the next 5 to 10 years? What's your long-term vision for the firm?
After a year, I can say we have a process that works. We've tested it. We've done some 360 feedback, made some tweaks. But essentially, yeah, we have a process that works. And we're starting to get some interest from some of our professional introducers, solicitors and accountants, chiefly. So we are looking to take on the right kind of clients, not too many, the right kind of clients. In terms of, I think, where the growth is going to come, well, I also want to find some more partners to join us. We've got something that's scalable here. So if you're listening to this and you're a senior portfolio manager elsewhere, perhaps towards the end of your career, and you're wondering how nice it would be just working with 6, maybe 10 of your best clients, then please do get in touch. But Eclipse is effectively a consultancy, so our focus is always going to be on providing a high-quality personal service to a very select group of clients. And you know, as long as we can do that, we will have a nice future.
And with that in mind, how do you think the world of private wealth is changing? And how is Eclipse positioning itself to stay ahead of that curve?
Yeah, it is changing, and in some ways it does need to change. The cynic in me unfortunately sees it becoming commoditized, with clients just regarded as a wallet to be cross-sold services from an in-house offering. Thankfully, there are many talented and entrepreneurial people out there in this industry who, you know, like us, want to put the interests of their clients first. So I'm optimistic that despite what we see out there, there will always be a place for firms that can satisfy the needs of those clients who have particular needs and are more discerning. You know, as I said earlier, for our clients, reputation and trust is far more important than brand. One thing we are doing is to stay ahead for the future is experimenting with AI. And that means in how we can improve procedures and save time mainly. So at the moment, all client meetings are recorded with AI. And not only does this save time and improve accuracy, but it means that we can be more focused and more present in meetings with clients, listening and not writing lengthy notes or saying, oh, hold there. Let me just write that down, Mr. Client. I've already found that quite transformational. And I think our clients have also warmed to it. So I think AI has a real place to be, but it is there to serve rather than dictate. And as long as it continues to do that, then that's fine. Because I think clients ultimately want to deal with a human being. You know, there's plenty of people who would love to go down the whole robo-advice route. And indeed, you can do that. And if that's what you want, great. But I think the future of your investments, the future of your family is far too important to trust to an algorithm. So that's my answer. in terms of where I see us going.
And of course, you started a new podcast. Why do you feel that's important?
Yes, before we launched Eclipse in April 2024, as I said, I wrote a short book entitled The Client Journey. I was concerned that other people didn't really see where we were or what our fit was. It was really to help prospective clients and introducers understand where we fit into that wealth management spectrum. And when I started to write it, lots of ideas and stories came out of it. So I ended up writing what started as a one-sheet pamphlet, then became a bigger booklet. But even then, I thought there was more to say. My wife and I have three adult children making their way in the world. So I also wanted to write something that would help them and the people in their late 20s and 30s who are making their way and thinking how they're going to thrive in the new world. So that was where the podcast idea came from, to expand on some of those ideas. And our first series is going to take you through each step of that client journey over five episodes, possibly six episodes, but five distinct episodes. And on that, I'm going to be joined by some IFAs, some investment managers. So I'm going to be in the hot seat asking the questions next time and joining the discussion with them. But I'm hoping it's going to be an interesting discussion. Each episode will tackle a different topic, a different step. And so I very much hope if you've got this far in this episode that you want to stick around and join us. I find there's no shortage of information out there. And I think that's the problem. There's almost too much there. So part of what we're going to do is to sort of look through the noise and make it interesting, accessible, useful, possibly entertaining too, although I make no claims on that.
Fantastic. Thanks, Max. And for our listener, and perhaps that senior portfolio manager or potential client that's looking to connect with you and learn more, where can they find out more, Max?
Well, the first place to go to is our website, and that's www.eclipsewealth.co.uk. We have a podcast page on there, so you'll find more about the podcast too. In due course, we are going to be available on the usual channels. So wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and you've hopefully found this one, look for the Eclipse Wealth podcast and hopefully stick with us along that client journey.
Max, thanks ever so much for your time. It's been wonderful to speak with you today.
My pleasure. I've enjoyed it.
If you enjoyed listening to this section of the Client Journey series, then why not subscribe and listen to past and future episodes? You can find out more on our website at www.eclipsewealth.co.uk/podcast. Eclipse Private Office is a trading style of Peregrine and Black Investment Management Limited, who are authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority here in the UK. Please remember that this podcast is for educational and information purposes only. We are not advising whether a certain investment is suitable or not. Don't forget that the value of investments can go down as well as up, and past performance of an investment is not a predictor of future returns. However, if you are interested in discussing any of the topics raised, then please contact Peregrine and Black via our website to arrange to speak with an independent financial advisor. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to join us next time for more conversation along the client journey.